evening to you. God bless you. Welcome to Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. This evening we will be talking about a subject that could be considered controversial by some, but is so clearly brought forward in God's Word that it need not be a subject of...
On December the 2nd, somewhere between the hour of 2 and 4, 1980, that would have been past December. I was not asleep. I was asleep in the flesh. But I woke up, or I arrived in a place that you're not supposed to be on this earth. And the thought that came to my mind, good morning, how are you? Is that I had died, because that's the only way you get to this place where I was, is by leaving the flesh body. And the word popped out of my mouth, Heavenly Father, I'm dead. And naturally, it's just human nature. My first thought is, what is going to happen to the church? And then the angel that appeared on the cloud to me in 1969 reached out and he touched my shoulder. He said, no, you're not dead. It's time for a changing of body. Mark this moment, for nothing shall ever be the same from this moment forward. And then I was in a condition mentally that I knew everything. I don't want that to sound sarcastic, but in 30 years of research in Hebrew and Greek and the other languages, you run across problems, things you wrestle with that you don't even talk about. And those things raced through my mind, and the answers were there. It was so simple. And the words popped out of my mouth. I don't consider myself to be an intellectual, but the words popped out. My Lord, I'm an intellectual. I knew everything. And then I realized that I was in a different body than we are here in the flesh. For just a few moments. And the Father had opened my mind to the things we knew in the world that was. We only knew such a small portion of our mental capacity. And then, in my lifetime, there have been two occasions where the Father would, possibly I should leave this out, I'll continue because I've gone this far. Received the charge of the Spirit until it's painful. The only way I can describe it is it is like you're receiving a strong current of an electrical charge. Not the same, but that's only the only way I can describe it. And at that time, it was so strong, I said, Father, I can't stand it anymore. He said, I'll stop for a moment, but there must be more. And another charge came. I was just about ready to scream out again, and it ended. And I've never felt so good in my life. When I was wounded in Korea, I was given marketing. By this I mean drugs. I know that experience from necessity. Nothing like that. As an ex-Marine, and maybe I'm not proud of it, but I'm not necessarily ashamed of it. It was my life, and that was it. I've been inebriated a few times. I know that feeling. Nothing like that. And I guarantee you one thing. You're not going to be bored when you touch. You're not going to be bored. This was a feeling that I cannot describe, but it was the third heaven. The next morning, December the 2nd, meant nothing to me. I'm pretty well a scholar of the calendar. It wouldn't fit. However, I didn't question it. I knew that, of course, I must hasten to add that the next morning, I was back here and very much in the flesh body, all right? And those moments of knowing everything were gone. And I missed it. I'm ready to go back. But when he's ready for me to, let's make that clear also. But I pondered this and I shared it with some of the folks that work here at the chapel and research here. And we couldn't really make too much out of it other than I knew that it was an experience of a lifetime. It was an experience of a lifetime. Later, at that particular time, we were doing Minor Prophets. We were putting it on video and redoing it. And I was researching in Haggai. This happened exactly 3 weeks later. And I came to the 18th verse. Somewhere along the 50s, it's been quite a while since I looked at this. The 18th, that's right, correct, all right. Verse 18 is that second chapter. And it reads, and then you'll understand why I understood what had happened on December the 2nd. Consider now from this day and upward. Or my instructions, if you remember, to mark that moment. Nothing would ever be the same from that moment forward. Right? From the fourth and 20th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Now, if you're not a student of the Hebrew calendar, the 24th day of the 9th month in 1980 happened to be December the 2nd. And, of course, if you know how to figure moons, the 2-4 was the exact moment. And then I knew I had to check it. I got up and looked in the calendar and I figured, and sure enough, it was. So let's understand then what was this, right? Incidentally, the book of Haggai, if I may, just for you, for our information to know that we're thinking on the same level, when the father said, you built good houses. You took care, you have taken care of yourself, but where's my house? What have you done about my house? What is this house? It's a body, all right? And that's what this chapter is about, is laying the body to come out of captivity from Satan in the last day, all right? 19. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth? Let's hold that thought just a moment. What is it really said there? What is seed? And you all know what seed is. What is seed? Seed is something you feed to animals, all right? It's supposed to be in the barn. But what about the seed? What's it for? To plant. What God is saying here, if you've got the seed planted, that means the truth. You've been teaching. Now we continue the verse. From this day will I bless you. In other words, if you've been teaching, if you've laid the foundation, if you've planted the seeds of my truth, from this day forward, I will bless you. And I would dare say, that there's not a person in this room that their life has not been different since December the 2nd of this year, of last year. Things have not been the same. They have been very different. And he is blessing us. Not just one, all that are in the body. All right, 20. And again, the word of the Lord came into Haggai in the 4th and 20th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Now, you all know what Zerubbabel means in Hebrew. It means born in confusion. Or, more correctly, born in Babylon, in other words. There's not a person in this room, when you were born into this world, that it wasn't Babylon the last day. Some of you have kept all of it. And that's what this name has to do with that point. You must understand it in Hebrew before you can understand what he said. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, our people, our family, talking about internationally. I'm not talking about individuals. R is the lovable. They are a signet with the signet. The signet is the king's ring that is a sign, all right? His stamp of approval is placed upon it. And we're not playing church any longer. We never have. These are the last days. Things are going to happen exactly as they are written in our Heavenly Father's Word. That's why they were given to the prophets in the first place. You don't need a prophet in the end times. We had our prophets in the beginning. And God uses people, all of them. Here, you have used me here. So, that time has come. He is blessed. He will continue to do so as long as we humbly follow his plan. Many of us, we like to prop ourselves up and let man get in the way. Beloved, man has nothing to do with this. It's God's plan. He will use all of you, but only when he's ready. And many times, the danger of it is, as we were talking yesterday concerning Satan's bargain there on Peter, after Christ had his first hand told him, I must be crucified. No, we're not going to let this happen. Many times, even in love, you can go against God's plan. So be careful. Be careful. We're not playing marbles. We're not playing church. We're not trying to impress anyone. We shouldn't be either. According to what God would have you do. We like to do things that make us feel good. There's nothing wrong with this. And judge no man yourself. The Father is capable of that. But make sure that you do that makes you feel good agrees with God's plan. Or if it doesn't, you will not arrive at that place until the millennium. It's that simple. And I'm not going to judge anyone. That's up to the Father. And I know that wherever anyone comes into the kingdom, that's his place for them to arrive. And I wouldn't want it any other way. So, just as a footnote, if you're playing thieves, don't get out a sledgehammer and hit the poor person off. They're beating to death with it. You know? If they haven't got ears to hear, it isn't their fault. And it certainly, you haven't been ordained to torture anyone into accepting God's truth. So be patient. Be still. Let the Father work. I didn't say be lazy, but you misconstrue what I said. Listen. He speaks in many ways. Mainly through his word. Let me tell you. It concerned me as a younger person that people that had visions and dreams, it shook me up. I didn't accept that. I didn't like it. I was uncomfortable with it. I was a rough and ready Marine, and I was willing to take anybody on anywhere, anytime. You know, I didn't go for this handsy-pansy type thing, you know, of having visions and didn't like preachers, frankly. And many of them today, I still haven't changed a great deal on that. I admire some of them, but because they don't teach the Bible. That's why. That's why we had to. I come out. I don't want any part of them. I shouldn't say that I don't like them, but a shepherd, when a person says, I'm going to preach, they move themselves into a little different category. They have a lot more to answer to. Well, you don't just go out. If you're going to sell apples, you want to make sure you got your wagon pretty well full before you go out to sell apples. Or if you're going to be a minister, you want to make sure you got your head pretty well full before you go out to preach. Full of what? God's Word. God does give inspiration. But bless your heart, it's not until you work. You don't get lucky. There's no such luck has nothing to do with God's plan. You work. He hates a lazy person. You've got to study his word before he'll give you one thing. Then he'll begin to give. But I questioned him. I said, How do I know that this comes from you? How can I tell the difference? And he said, the first time that you are given something and you cannot find it and document it in my word, it is not from me. You know what that means? This word is complete within itself. All he does is jogs our memories just a little bit to let us know and understand what is written. The simplicity that it is. Okay, now how, and I'm sorry, I got myself off the track a little bit. We'll get back to the ninth day, and the ninth month and the 24th day. You see, Zechariah is a continuation of this, of Hagia, of this time. It is the same year, all right, if you check it out. In other words, chapter 1 of Zechariah, let's orientate ourselves. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, which being the same year as in Haggai, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah the son of Berechiah. All right, now skip on with me so that we know where we are. On the seventh verse of this chapter, first chapter 1, Zechariah. Incidentally, Zechariah in Hebrew tongue means remembered of Yahweh. That was my children that I remember. So it has a very special meaning. If you're one of God's elect and he's beginning to remember you, there's a great message in it for you. Upon the 4th and the 20th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Sabbath. In other words, he makes it very clear that he doesn't just say the 11th month. He wants to make sure you know he's talking about Sabbath, which was our January the 29th of this year. In the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah the son of Berechiah. And I saw the night, and I beheld a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were the red horses speckled and white. And then I said, O Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. Now, I understand, first of all, when they were standing in the shade, what does that mean in Hebrew? They're unseen. There's four hidden dinosaurs, but they're in the shade. You've got to really look close to see them. Right? Do you understand what I mean? And so that's why four hidden dinosaurs. Right? And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered, and he said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. Who sent them? They are evil dynasties, but the Lord sent them. His plan, his purpose. Can't be angry at the evil, and because the father sends it to correct his own children. It would be like you being put out of the paddle if you bust your little kids with to keep them disciplined. You know, same thing. Verse 11, and they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth that is still is at rest. This means there's that peace. There's no major war. But these four hidden dynasties have the advantage of walking to and fro freely throughout the world. Of course, the chief head of this is Zion. The learned elders are the very head outside of Satan himself. Since you're seeing the four powers mentioned in Daniel, the book of Daniel, concerning the last days, that the ten horns would come up from in the end. But on that day, the 29th, there was the non-aligned nations were meeting in New Delhi. They're still meeting there today. We'll get something on the wire on this. We're watching it very closely. And the aligned nations, and of course this means those with atomic power and those without, they were meeting in Madrid. And they were going for, and Russia declared it on the 800 number, we don't want to talk about nuclear disarmament alone, we want to talk about conventional and nuclear. So you say, beloved, what are the hidden dynasties doing? Not many people can see it, but have you not heard that the world is in worse shape economically than it has been since the Great Depression? Doesn't that mean something? It's written also in God's word that there will be droughts in the last year, famines and droughts, mainly the famine for the troops, all right? But also the moisture. And sometimes you can't trust the news too well. By this I mean they'll comport it to have it appear to sound like what it was, and I did not know if this was man-made to cause more pressure. Then about that time the Mississippi River began to dry up. First time in 100 years that you couldn't get barge traffic down that river. I believe I'm correct.
Barges can go, but they can only carry like half loads.
Well, true. But I mean, about free treatment for this one. Could somebody correct me if it's been? I think that's correct. Mm-hmm. The first time this has ever happened. Well, the Mississippi River begins to dry up. It's only 4 foot deep, and you can only haul half loads. That's a pretty good indication that everything north of there is dry. You know, that's all it can. So there's no way that the Kenai can dam up the Mississippi River and make it appear to be an illusion. Interesting point. Of course, we know spiritually that the Euphrates will be dry because it was always the boundary between Israel and Babylon. And there is no boundary anymore. Babylon has taken Israel over to Jerusalem. So we see many of these things coming to the front. And also in Geneva there were peace meetings. The president of France just really, boy, he's, and the new, over the 10 member now, European nation, the common market, they're just busting a gut to get into the peace talks in the Middle East. They just can't hardly stay hooked. The dot's been saying, we'll go along with this, we like it, as long as it agrees with the Camp David treaty. So, these four dynasties, they are working overtime, and never, never have they had the freedom to move as they have. Why do they have that freedom? You just read it from the scripture. God sent them. He allows it. It's going to happen. And the thing that Jeremiah told Israel, they were going into total captivity, I tell you this day, your people are in captivity. They are going into captivity of Babylon. Do you understand what I mean? The deception of the mind. They're going to be deceived. There is nothing that you can do about it, nor should you even want to. For it is not God's plan. Revelation 13:1 states very clearly, it is God's plan that this one world system shall rise and deceive the world for that 5 month period. Then you can begin to do something about it if you follow his plan, if you know what he wants you to do. If you don't know what he wants you to do, then forget it. You haven't studied, you don't know, how can he use you? Come along in the night and give you a dream and say, you're ready. He doesn't use truths like that. I know it's been taught, all right? And I know he's able. But he just doesn't like lazy people. Not when he can find good people that like to work. That's why you like to study. You're preparing yourself. Now, I know we like to say, well, I can sit back up the tree and I don't have to know anything. You know what a person is that doesn't know anything? I don't have to give you the definition for it. You're dumb. Why should if you're going to go out and plow the garden, and you've got one old lazy, dumb you, and you've got one that'll just get in the hornet and just step them off, de-haul them right to the end of the road, what you going to use? All things are possible with the Father. And I'm not ridiculing anyone that would be handicapped. Understand, he takes care of that himself. But I'm encouraging you, these are the last hours. There's no such thing as the Sabbath unless you want to call this the Sabbath, the last day from here to the end. So there's only time to work. Study. Show yourself approved. Show him that you're able to do if he'll just let you know. And he will. Leave it to him. I will do nothing except I will tell my Father. He'll let you know. But beloved, you got to work at it. You got to prepare yourself. You got to want to. You got to show him
that is, if you want to be one of the elect. You know what the elect are? Actually, they're people that were chosen before the foundations of the earth, and they have the total responsibility. It doesn't make them any better than me now. But they have the total responsibility of bringing His word to our people, and they shouldn't want to do anything other than be ready for that. I'm not saying make an El Frito out of yourself and shut yourself off from society. Because how can you help your people if you don't go among them? Jesus Himself, and among the sinners and the publicans. Stay with the people that you have to serve. You're not here to earn any badges of honor or anything like that. You did that before the foundations of this earth. If you're one of God's elect. He chose you then and justified you, Romans chapter 8. Before the foundations of this earth. You're here to help your people. There's only one way you can, and that's to know what God would have you know. All right, so we were able to ascertain from this. What happens after this? It continues on in the back of Ryan. I'm going to close this off and just open it up and turn it over to you here in a minute. The second chapter of Zechariah tells how that there are these same four horns destroy God's work. But then in the 20th verse of this first chapter, and the Lord showed me four carpenters. These are smiths. These are good people. They're the ones that put it back together. Then said I, what can these to do? And he said, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head, but these, the carpenters, are come to pray them and to cast, this is the Gentiles, and to cast out the horns of the Gentiles which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. In other words, they are going to make things right. Skip on with me, if you would, to chapter 4 of Zechariah. Now, you all know that this fourth chapter speaks of the stone that had the seven eyes. Do you know what those seven eyes are? There's the 7,000 elect. It is written in Romans chapter 11, I have, according to Elijah, I have set aside 7,000 that shall not bow a knee to Baal. It wasn't talking about past history, it was talking about when Baal appeared. Which is the Antichrist. We'll pick up verse 7. Of this fourth chapter has to do with the two witnesses and Zerubbabel, and I'm taking here because of Zerubbabel. Let's go with verse 6. And he answered, and he spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, this is talking about the oil that goes into the menorah. You know what the menorah is? Seven candles. The seven spirits, the seven churches, which make up the body, whatever you want to call, we should call it. He's saying that oil doesn't flow by your wishing it, or by the power of your arm, or by you working at it, because it flows when I want it to, by my will. And that oil is the spirit of truth, and it's the oil of the virgins that are having their lamp in the last days to make sure you don't end up the five that didn't have quite enough. Because that oil is true. But the double meaning, born out of confusion. Seven, who art thou, O great mountain? Mountain means nation. Right? What kind of great nation? Look at Zionism today. Look at Israelite. Before the double, thou shalt become a plain. In other words, before my servants that are born in confusion when they come out, I'm going to flatten you. You're not going to be a mountain anymore as a nation. I'm going to flatten you. Did it say the 7,000 you're going to do? I believe he said, I will do it. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it.